This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehis Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Now the Libyan government has asked Italy to provide naval support to fight human trafficking in Libya's territorial waters. Now, that's quite a significant move. It's one that the Italian government has said it will take under consideration.
That's Josephine McKenna reporting from Rome. Details coming up.
Also, a Boko Haram attack in northern Nigeria has left about 10 military personnel dead and 10 University of Maiduguri workers missing. And elite Cameroon soldiers remain unaccounted for after their ship capsized off the coast of the Bakassi Peninsula over a week ago.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story: about 10 military personnel are reported dead and 10 University of Maiduguri workers missing after Boko Haram militants attacked a convoy in northern Nigeria. Members of a Borno State self-defense force reported the attack yesterday. No comment yet from Nigeria's military. The convoy was traveling northwest of Maiduguri when it was ambushed near the village of Jibi. The military personnel were providing security for a geological research team from the university. The government is surveying for possible oil deposits in northern Nigeria and the Lake Chad Basin, despite possible attacks by Boko Haram. A university spokesman has confirmed the staff members were abducted, adding there had been hired as consultants.
In other news on Nigeria, at least five people are reported dead after a four-story residential building collapsed yesterday in Lagos. The AP Coates authorities are saying at least 15 people have been rescued. Rescue workers continue searching the rubble for more survivors. It's not clear how many people lived in the building. There's no word at this time on the cause of the collapse.
Thirty-two people, most of them elite Cameroon soldiers, remain unaccounted for after their ship capsized off the coast of the Bakassi Peninsula over a week ago. Relatives of the missing are demanding answers. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Dozens come every evening to comfort the residents of this house in the Yaoundé Kwabang neighborhood of the capital. This is the home of Alex Alega, one of the 32 soldiers still missing after a Cameroonian military vessel went down off the Atlantic coast July 16. His brother, Théophile, is anxious for news.
C'est inacceptable qu'à ce jour on soit face à ce drame et qu'il ne puisse pas répondre aux questions.
He says it is unacceptable that to date the military has not explained to the Cameroonian people what happened and why it has not been able to retrieve the corpses. He says the military should render an account of what happened. The Defense Ministry issued a written statement the day of the incident, saying the circumstances had not yet been established. No other statement has been released since then. The military logistic ship was carrying 37 people when it went down. Three soldiers were rescued and two victims were retrieved from the vessel 3 days later. However, Colonel Henri Belinga, commander of the Coast Guard sector of Cameroon's elite corps, says harsh weather has made it difficult to carry out search and retrieval missions.
Actuellement, les opérations de rescue continuent.
He says operations continue to try to recover the bodies from the vessel, which is 35 meters underwater. He says he wants to reiterate that this was an accident. He says they have asked for and obtained the support of the Navy to help them find the bodies. The Bakassi Peninsula remains a site of some tension in Cameroon. It was the source of a decades-long border dispute with Nigeria. Nigeria officially ceded the oil-rich peninsula to Cameroon in 2008 following a ruling by the International Court of Justice. Colonel Belinga told VOA reports that the ship may have been attacked by pirates protesting alleged bad treatment of Nigerians in the Bakassi Peninsula are false. The vessel was transporting equipment for construction work at a military base on the peninsula. Officials say the construction work and the transfer of supplies to troops in Bakassi have been halted since the lone supply vessel sunk. Moki Edwin Kinzuka for VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
Libya is asking Italy for help in cracking down on human traffickers on the Mediterranean Sea. The prime minister of the UN-backed Government of National Accord, Faiz al-Sarraj, met today with Italian Prime Minister Paolo Gentiloni. The meeting follows yesterday's summit near Paris, in which Sarraj and Libyan National Army commander Khalifa Haftar agreed to a conditional ceasefire and possible elections early next year. Most of the migrants crossing the Mediterranean leave from Libya and end up in Italy. Reporter Josephine McKenna is following today's developments from Rome. She spoke to VOA's Jody Capua about today's meeting between the Italian and Libyan officials.
Well, this is significant. It's part of ongoing talks between the Italian government and the Libyan leader. Now the Libyan government has asked Italy to provide naval support to fight human trafficking in Libya's territorial waters. Now, that's quite a significant move. It's one that the Italian government has said it will take under consideration. But it could also create problems in the Mediterranean. What sort of powers will the Italian Navy or would the Italian Navy have to intervene? Will it create conflict or will it create problems if the Italians intervene and try and send migrants back to Libya? It's very unclear what sort of role the Italian Navy would play. It is important that these leaders continue to talk, to discuss the issues. Italy is very concerned about the state of security inside Libya, the widespread lawlessness, the militias who are very powerful there, and of course the continuing tide of migrants that we're seeing passing through Libya, crossing the Mediterranean and coming to Italy.
Now, apparently this operation that Libya requested would be carried out in Libyan waters, but I thought the Italian Navy and the Coast Guard had been training the Libyan Coast Guard.
That's correct. The Italian Coast Guard has worked very closely in recent months training the Libyan Coast Guard, and yet the Prime Minister Gentiloni, Paolo Gentiloni, said that this request, if the Parliament agreed to support it, was necessary and would be carried out in Libyan waters by ships sent from Italy. Now, you would think the training that is being carried out by the Italians for the Libyans would be adequate, but there's also been some controversy. Some of the NGOs who are involved in that area rescuing migrants just off the coast of Libya have complained of aggression and inappropriate behaviour by the Libyan Coast Guard. So there's a great deal of sensitivity about what is going on in that area. And perhaps the Italian government sees this as a way of calming some of the conflict that's going on between the NGOs and the Libyan Coast Guard, and perhaps giving the Italian Navy some sort of mediatory role in that area that might calm some of the conflict that we've seen there between organizations and the Libyan Coast Guard.
Well, as all this goes on, I'm sure the migrant flow continues to Europe, especially Italy. Do you have any updates on rescues?
Well, more than 120 migrants were rescued on Tuesday from the Mediterranean, while 13 others, including pregnant women and children, died in a crammed rubber dinghy, according to the Spanish rescue group Proactiva. And in another operation, the non-profit organisation Save the Children came to the rescue of some 90 migrants who were aboard a small boat off the coast of Libya. And these rescue operations, incidentally, were coordinated by the Italian Coast Guards. Now, so far this year, we've seen more than 90,000 migrants arrive in Italy by sea, so there's still a great deal of pressure on the Italian government to respond to this crisis. And in another significant move, the Prime Minister Gentiloni said that Italy had received some strong backing from Germany for its initiatives to stop human trafficking. Not sure what that means, but with an election coming up in Germany, the German Chancellor Angela Merkel is very concerned about the migrant issue and the issue of human trafficking as she faces the election this September.
That's reporter Josephine McKenna in Rome. She spoke with VOA's Joe DiCapua. You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehis Wuhib, 16 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. A Boko Haram attack in northern Nigeria has left about 10 military personnel dead and 10 University of Maiduguri workers missing. Elite Cameroon soldiers remain unaccounted for after their ship capsized off the coast of the Bakassi Peninsula over a week ago. And Libya is asking Italy for help in cracking down on human traffickers on the Mediterranean Sea. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
A new study says disabled people continue to have problems getting jobs or engaging in many social activities. This despite the efforts of non-governmental organizations and governments to improve their plight. That's some of the findings of the stakeholder group of persons with disabilities. Rights advocates stress that the disabled must be involved in the design and implementation of national and local poverty reduction programs. Yetna Bush-Nagusi is a senior inclusion advisor for Light for the World, an NGO that advocates for the rights of the disabled in developing countries. She is also a representative of the stakeholder group of persons with disabilities. She spoke with me about the importance of including the disabled in the fight against poverty.
It's important to remember the overarching principle of the Agenda 2030, which is leave no one behind. We already had the Millennium Development Goals for the last 15 years, not inclusive of all groups of the society. So it was realized at the end of the Millennium Development Goals, the world has realized that there were segments of the society being not included in the development journey. That wouldn't really make development sustainable. So if we talk about development sustainable, then making sure that everybody is on board is something critical. So persons with disabilities happen to be among the largest minorities overlooked in the program so far. So the Sustainable Development Goal really calls for leaving no one behind. Actually, if we talk about poverty reduction, 80% of persons with disabilities live in extreme poverty, and they are found in quite so many of these developing countries. So if we talk eradicating poverty, which is the focus, unlike the MDGs, which talked about radio, in poverty, then poverty cannot be eradicated, leaving out one-seventh of the global population.
What is the reasoning behind excluding people with disabilities? Why is that happening?
The stakeholder group of persons with disabilities has worked on a global report indicating the level of participation that persons with disabilities and their organizations had in the 44 reporting countries. And key findings indicate that in some places, spaces are already closed for civil societies. So it's not only persons with disabilities, but quite so many other CSOs are not also part of it. But even in places where the civil societies are engaged, it doesn't look like governments realize that persons with disabilities are critical partners in the process. So they tend not to include disabled persons organizations. But even in places where disabled persons organizations are invited to participate, they often find meeting documents and information as well as meeting venues inaccessible. And governments also talk about lack of disaggregated data, given the fact that if you're not counted, you are not accounted for. So in many places, there is no data. There is a huge gap on data. So one of the big things we expect in 2030 is that there will be data disaggregated by gender, age, and disability. So basically, most of the barriers are accessibility, lack of understanding, attitude, awareness. Still, people consider that poverty is a priority issue, and they don't really think that persons with disabilities can contribute. So this overall finding of this global report that the stakeholder group of persons with disabilities has prepared, we really need to follow a transformative approach to include persons with disabilities.
Also, what needs to be done on the local levels and local communities to try to make this happen, as well as on the national level?
I think the big work to be done in terms of the sustainable development goals is at the local community level. First thing is they need to be counted because they were invisible. The 1 billion figure I'm giving you is global, that the World Health Organization and World Bank has worked on. So the first thing is local communities really need to make sure that they are counted, they are included, because measure what you measure. If they're not measured, they cannot be treated. The second thing is there it needs to be really in line with the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, at which we have now more than 174 countries actually ratified it. So we need to break barriers which are impeding persons with disabilities from participation. I think once barriers are removed and persons with disabilities are empowered, then they can be on the same boat with the rest of the community.
That was Yetna Birch-Negusi, Senior Inclusion Advisor for Light for the World and a representative of the Stakeholder Group of Persons with Disabilities. She spoke with me from New York City.
The World Bank says agriculture accounts for 65% of Africa's labor force and one-third of its gross domestic product. But many of the continent's farmers produce only enough food for their own family and a meager surplus. For traditional subsistence farmers, expanding their business and accessing markets can be a real challenge. And in many countries, rapid deforestation is degrading the soil and water. However, here there are substantial new business opportunities for Africa's farmers. Recently, a conference at Rutgers University in New Jersey brought together investors, development experts, entrepreneurs, policymakers, and farmers dedicated to growing Africa's agribusiness and trade. VOA's Adam Phillips was there.
It's day three of the inaugural International Congress for African Agribusiness and Trade, and every one of the 150 or so people here has brought their own particular area of interest and expertise to the week-long event. Co-chairman Michael Hurley is Special Programs Director for the Bonobo Conservation Initiative, a nonprofit group based in Washington, D.C. and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Hurley has worked tirelessly to help Africa's farmers get the tools and technology they need to prosper, but in environmentally sustainable ways. For example, he discovered that in parts of Africa, a mosaic virus was killing off 80% of the cassava crop. Forest farmers would then chop down trees to clear land to grow enough cassavas to feed their families. But reckless deforestation degrades the soil and contributes to global warming.
Where you don't see trees, the soil disappears, the biodiversity disappears, the genetic diversity. But to soil and watersheds is the most important. When that disappears, everything starts breaking down.
Hurley helped introduce farmers to a strain of cassava that is resistant to mosaic virus. This strain of cassava produces the same yield on 15% of the land area. This means more cassava, which means more food and revenue, less deforestation, less greenhouse gas, and less global warming.
So agriculture was the greatest threat, but I also perceive that it could possibly be one of the greatest opportunities.
Congress participant Josh Doré helps farmers in a different way. As co-founder of Guinea's University for Community Development, Doré is here to seek funders to develop grassroots initiatives for farmers living on poverty's edge.
We are asking for partners for different projects, for agricultural production, community trade, research, agritourism. Agritourism allows people to come and visit and learn about products.
Such as, for example, that there are 15 varieties of turkey they can raise.
It gives the community a lot of different opportunities.
Keeping perishable produce stable long enough to bring it from farm to market is often a challenge in rural Africa, where infrastructure can be poor. That means waste for the public and poverty for farmers. Professor Mokun Karve, a Rutgers University food scientist, advocates a mechanical process that converts flour and raw material like cassava, maize, yuca, tapioca, and lentils into dry pasta for transport and sale.
You put it in a box and 6 months is still okay. And then you can be very innovative and make business out of it.
Gene Sefuk Jiage is founder and CEO of Futures Agribusiness, based in Maryland. He's here looking for foreign investors for African agricultural projects which lead to the global marketplace. It is Jiage's job to get the many various players together to make it work. That means producers, truckers, foreign investors, port workers, and crucially, government policymakers.
Exactly. But to be able to do that, government needs to agree with us that this is what we need to improve the livelihood of producers. And then when the government approves, they need to bring some facilities for us to operate. So we're working on that step by step. When it comes to the politics, there is no way to control.
Professor Carl Prey is an agricultural economist at Rutgers University's School of Environmental and Biological Sciences. He says African governments must strive to get modern technology to traditional farmers. This means funding technology research and easing unnecessary restrictions on genetically modified seeds and drought-resistant plant varieties that have already been tested and approved abroad.
It can be a virtuous cycle. They can make more money. They can then buy services and industrial products that create good jobs for everybody in the country. Our ultimate goal in our research is to help farmers be able to pull themselves out of poverty and out of hunger, because it feed more people within the country also. I mean, because it then allows country to grow in other sectors, the service sector and the industrial sector, if you can produce enough internally.
Continued climate change, coupled with Africa's explosive population growth, make it certain that challenges will continue for Africa's farmers. Still, the participants at the inaugural International Congress for African Agribusiness and Trade do share this hope that innovation, hard work, and opportunity will help ensure a habitable, prosperous future for the continent. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New Brunswick, New Jersey.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. Stay tuned for Straight Talk Africa with Chaka Sali coming up at 18:30 UTC. I'm Hayes Wuhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Bill Workinger, and our engineer, Misha Dubinsky, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, this is Chaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss Rwanda's August 4th presidential election. Incumbent Paul Kagame is widely expected to win another term. The amended constitution allows him to remain in power until 2034 if he pursues it. A preview of Rwanda's presidential election.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA. To our audience on VOA's FM in Accra, Ghana. We are happy to announce that VOA's FM station 98.1 is back on the air with all your favorite news and programs. Tune in every day, 24/7. You can also listen to VOA's radio programs on shortwaves, 6080 kilohertz, 49.3 meter band, and 15580 kilohertz, 19.2 meter band. We are online at voanews.com.
Good morning. 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 You are listening to VOA's Daybreak Africa, your breakfast show with James Buddy. Morning.